page at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What are we doing live? It goes in eternity.
Anti-aircraft gun pointed to action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
General Quarters, all hands at your battle stations.
Your nervous count your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Bam, check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
From sea to sea.
All right, you are a go.
From planet to planet. And star to shining star.
Go.
You got it. Ancient antediluvian past. Science fiction. Science fact. Conspiracy theory. Conspiracy reality. Bicameral fissure at the center of your brain. Pulsating light year across black hole at the heart of our galaxy. Your frequency is ascending. Revolution-radio.com, RevolutionTalkRadio.com, RevolutionRadio.tv, and freedomslipknot.com, where the truth never sleeps, but it does pass out drunk every now and then. You don't have to look for us. We're already here. We're hiding in your closet. Boo! It's Strange Universe Radio. Oh, that's right. The radio show that was taken over by apes a long time ago. Dawn of the Planet of Strange Universe. With your host, the man so nice, they name it thrice. The man whose bravado can be seen from space. The man who's made a mistake once, but it turned out that he was, in fact, mistaken. The man whose speedboat is powered by mermaids. The man who believes that members of Congress should wear patches like NASCAR drivers, just so you know who their corporate sponsors are. And who's your buddy, who's your pal, who's your friend? It is I, V. Sean David Morton, how are you? For about the next, my goodness, for about the next 2 hours or so, we will be your, I don't know what I'm going to be. I'll be something, but I'm going to be your lion tamer, baby, your personal trainer, your Pilates instructor, your party host, your chairman of the board, your CEO, your CFO, your sexual surrogate, your tantric partner, your bartender, alligator wrestler, ringmaster, and jungle boat tour guide captain for the next 2 hours as we travel along the five rivers of the world right there. There's Headhunter Sam. He'll trade you two of his heads for one of yours and the backside of water. There it is. Yes, but whose goal in life is to do nothing but actually captain a jungle boat. And, of course, with my trusty sidekick and companion, the Eddie Willers to my Dagny Taggart. Nobody ever gets that reference. The maple syrup to my pancakes, the Ying to my Yang, the cigar to my Saddam, the Merlin to my Arthur, the Paul to my John, the Luigi to my Super Mario, the Sully to my Mike, the Spock to my Kirk, the Macaulay Culkin to my Michael Jackson, the Bubbles to my Michael Jackson, the Throat to my Alex Jones, the Popping Vein to my Alex Jones, oh, the Warm Soft Puppy to my David Wilcock, the Ryan Seacrest to my Simon Cowell, the Babalooey to my Quick Drama Grunt. The elephant, the Dr. Elephant to my Astro Boy. God, how many of these can I come up with? The Augie Doggy to my Daddy Doggy, the Boo Boo to my Yogi, the Kato to my Green Hornet, the Speedy to my Green Arrow, the Robin to my Batman, the Canine to my Doctor Who, the Stan to my Laurel. Don't interrupt me, I'm on a roll. The Brian to my Stewie, the Billy Ryan to my Carrie Cassidy. It is, of course, Even Steven. There you are.
Hey.
That's all good. All right, we got some fun, we got some crazy fun things to go through today. Of course, we get letters, we get guests, we get all kinds of things. Welcome to Hump Day. Welcome to Wacky, Wacky, Wacky Fun Wednesday. Strange Universe, actually, we're the 77th biggest radio show out of 10,000 in on the air in the world. Can you believe that? We're actually like the top, we're the top radio talk show on the internet. Can you believe that? It's pretty good. Alex Jones tricks us. Alex Jones cheats, because what Alex Jones does is he has like a bunch of websites like Prison Planet and InfoWars and Pulled Throbbing Vein and you know, FEMA Raped My Mom and FEMA Ate My Dog, and you know, he's got a whole bunch of websites. You know, I Will Scream for Money, I Do Anything Israel Tells Me to Do, you know, that sort of thing. You know, Alex. So he has all these websites, and I guess if you go on one of these websites, they somehow count you as a listener to his radio show. So anyway, so that makes us actually the top actual radio show on Earth, even though Alex Jones' show, through a series of shenanigans and trickery, is ranked, I think, number six. Strange Universe Radio is actually the top the top radio show in the world. I think we have an iTunes button. We have an iTunes button as well somewhere that somebody has talked about. Rumor has it that we have this. Hopefully, if we can run him down, Adam Kokesh is an American libertarian, talk show host, activist, and author. He's a decorated veteran of the war in Iraq. And Kokesh came to disparage and basically not believe in war, which is probably not too hard a conclusion to come to. I don't believe in killing people. He became an advocate of nonviolent resistance to power, variously identified as an anarchist, an agorist, a voluntarist. He's called for a new American revolution. And he's written a new book called Freedom. And we're theoretically, hypothetically going to have him on the show at 4 o'clock. So we're going to try to the beginning of our big superstar July. Oh, boy, the people that we have lined up. Holy cow. If they ever show, it will be most impressive. Dear Sean, this is from Eliahook. Eliahook, were you aware that Marshall Masters of WowUSA.com is also leaving California for the Reno area at this time? No. I know Marshall Mathers. I think he's Eminem, but I don't know who's Marshall Masters. Do we know who Marshall Masters is? I don't even know what WowUSA.com is. So, well, thank you for the update on a person I know nothing about and a website I have not been informed of. Dear Sean, this is from Sully. This is our Wednesday mailbag. football in America. You just have to say it like a terrorist. Football. You are Americans will give us all your football, or we will blow ourselves to smithereens. Football in America. Sean, I grew up in the 70s outside Boston and played football and wrestled in high school. Yay, I did both those things. Similar to you. Did not play soccer. I actually did play soccer for, I don't know, I think I tried out for the team. And I was like, this is dumb. I think I was there for like 3 days. And I hated it. They put me in the back somewhere. And somebody threw me, when the ball came towards me, I just kicked it the other way. And I said, this is the dumbest sport ever. Anyway, he says, did not play soccer. Thought soccer was not a real sport, but my 17-year-old son has played soccer since he was 5. Yeah, you want your kids to play soccer because then your insurance premiums go down, you cheap bastard. Anyway, just kidding around. He was 5, and I have a different understanding of the sport. It is a very difficult game, really, to master. Yeah, run over there. No, now run over there. Oh, now our guy has it. No, their guy has it. Okay. It's a very difficult game to master, and it is played with much contact at the higher level. Yeah, that's why they call it FIFA, faking injury for attention. My point, 10 years ago, I saw how thousands of young U.S. boys and girls were playing soccer and realized that soccer would become very popular right about now. Like me, millions of parents have also learned the sport and enjoy watching it. I wouldn't go that far. I especially like seeing soccer played with excellence in the World Cup. Okay, it has been kind of exciting. If you call goals scored in like the last minute when you sit around for 90 minutes, oh, and it's not over yet, so it's 96 minutes. Oh, it's still not over. The women's soccer team of these United States has already achieved this kind of excellence in the world, and the men are not far behind. Viva football in Vespuccia. Okay, well, thanks for that, Sully. I have no idea why that's there. Lynn Wallace writes, regarding the legal paperwork you talk about on your show, hi, Sean, big fan of the show. I catch Strange Universe via Revolution Talk Radio's YouTube uploads a day or two later. That paperwork you talk about, the Superman papers, I think you call it, interests me. this is Steve's buddy. Kate of Gaia talks total nonsense because my birth certificate says filed, not registered. It has no crown on the top, but the seal of the state of Pennsylvania. And nowhere on it does it say not to be used for identification. She's absolutely right. And once again, your buddy Kate is just so way out of line on this. There may be a state somewhere that's a commonwealth that has a crown on it, but that's not the case in Pennsylvania. It's not the case in California. Nowhere does it say not to be used for identification. So, again, once again, sorry, but Kate of Gaia is full of crap. And this all capital letter stuff simply makes no sense, although I've looked at all my credit cards with my name in all caps. What's up with that? Anyway, will you please let me know more about the paperwork you provide, what it does, how much it costs, and whatever else about it that comes to mind. Would greatly appreciate learning more about it. Thanks much. Keep up the great work. Lynn in Florida. Okay. All right. We tried to have Kate of Gaia on the show simply because I asked Kate of Gaia a couple of questions that it didn't like. He burst into a series of obscenities claiming that I was somehow, I don't know, oppressing him or something. Anyway, it was bad all the way around. As far as the certificate is not, it says filed. You file a certificate. What happens with your birth certificate is that it goes to the county recorder, and then it goes to the state registrar. There's a registrar, and that's what then puts you on the tax rolls. That's what then puts you on the property rolls. That's what makes you, in essence, a citizen of the sovereign state. Now, your birth certificate is then usually handed over to the Commerce Department, and the Commerce Department then creates another entity with you. I mean, the reason it's called a certificate and not a birth record or record of birth is it's a certificate. It's in essence a stock certificate. It doesn't say registered on it. There may be states where it says that, but usually most states does not say that. No, it doesn't have a crown, but there may be states that do that. There are some states like Delaware that's a commonwealth, for example, that may put a crown on it. If they put a crown on it, that does have something to do with the actual crown of still being under British authority. And nowhere have I ever seen a birth certificate that says not to be used for identification. Now, the original, you'll never get your original birth certificate back because it is a certificate of stock. You are now in a vast ecumenical holding company that we call the Great American Corporation, which disguises itself as a government. And yes, you are then borrowed against. That certificate then basically is your share of stock in the corporation we call the government. But that also makes you responsible for the debts of that corporation as well. Anybody that tells you if you own stock in a company, for example, and that company tanks, guess what? They go after stockholders for money that the company owes. Ever heard of the Internal Revenue Service? Now, all capital letters, exactly. What happens is that there is a distinct difference between your name spelled properly in proper English, which my name would be obviously capital S, small e, small a, small n, capital D, and usually if you put punctuation in it as well. For example, Sean hyphen or dash David colon Morton would be the proper way to spell it because Sean David is a given name, whereas Morton is what they call a sir or sire name. So you're of the house of. Therefore, because one name is given to you and the other name, basically you have no choice because you're born into a family, therefore there should be a proper colon between, say, the Sean and the David, Sean dash David, colon Morton or whatever your last name is, because theoretically that's a bloodline and a house that you then belong to. Now, and the State Department, by the way, just admitted to this. We've been saying this for many, many years. All the Patriot and Sovereign guys have been talking about your name in all capital letters. The Department of State just came out and said, yes, we communicate with you in all capital letters names that it's not your actual name in all capital letters. That's not the proper spelling. I actually went to the DMV in Nevada and said, I would like my name spelled properly, please. You know, capital S, small e, small a, in proper English. And their response to that was, our computers don't work like that. Said, you're telling me your computer has no shift key? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Your computer, which runs this gigantic database of driver's licenses and registrations and whatever else, doesn't have a shift key to be able to make letters big and make letters small, upper and lower case. Nope. Got to have everything in all capital letters. Okay. And you just go along with that. Well, all capital letters names, once again, turn you into a company or corporation. There is a difference between the all capital letters name of a straw man or a hologram, if you will, that they set up in the matrix for you. Again, please remember that the Constitution of the United States, which is a compact between the federal government and the states, you are not a party to the Constitution. You're a party to the Constitution of your state. The U.S. Constitution it restricts the behavior of how the federal government can behave with the sovereign states. And it's only approximately 4,700 words or so. But once you become a federal U.S. citizen, small c, by the way, instead of a capital C, and you will notice that the word citizen is capitalized in the Constitution until you get to the 14th Amendment. And after the 14th Amendment, all the citizens are now small c's, which means they're subjects and not sovereign. And unfortunately, the Constitution is what the Supreme Court says it is. Worst system ever. Thomas Jefferson said, to paraphrase, seriously, you're going to take 9 federal cronies, government employees, give them jobs for life, and every day they get to get up and tell you what the Constitution is supposed to mean, and that's a good idea? Of course, Jefferson was also the one that said that the Tree of Liberty needs to be watered every now and then with the blood of tyrants. He recommended a revolution every 20 years. That was Jefferson. So Sam Adams thought that, Patrick Henry thought that. The guys who showed up to sign the Declaration of Independence were not the same guys that signed the Constitution. They were not the same people. They were more concerned, as was Washington, of keeping the British off their back. We didn't really win any substantial battles against the British. The British just decided to go home. They didn't. We did not beat them. They just went, eh. And you'll notice that the British in every single country now, and actually they're doing this with Scotland right now. I mean, if you think anything's different with Scotland, Scotland's going through this big referendum as to whether or not they should be independent. And yet the British are saying, well, okay, you get to be independent, but we're going to keep control of the banks. You're still going to use our money because you're still going to have the Queen on it. And we're going to control the courts. And if you control the banks and the courts, you control everything else. So when Cornwallis split, he was like, you Yanks better pay. Alexander Hamilton puts together the Bank of the United States, which was designed to pay off the British. And the British, actually, when they came back in 1914, in the War of, well, the War of 1812, actually, and then when they finally left in 1814, part of the deal was that they would still control the courts with their esquires, if you will, and their private bar association, the British accreditation or the British aristocratic registry. And by the way, I was in a court with a federal judge who just basically just lied through her teeth about everything and could not answer the question of, why don't you tell me what branch of government actually is the Bar Association under? Where she's trying to tell me there are no titles of nobility in the United States, and she didn't even know what an esquire was. This is a federal judge. And she said, well, I think it's somebody who used to be like, I don't know, an assistant to a knight or something. And what would they call female esquires? Wenches? She was being funny. But it's what she said. In open court. I got the transcript. It's kind of amusing. Because she viewed herself as a big expert on all this stuff. And I just said, you know, man, there's no point in arguing with you because there's just no point. But you don't know a thing about what you're talking about. So, yes, in all capital letters, they create a corporation. And once they create a corporation, federal government and government can actually then regulate commerce. And once you become a commercial entity, now they got you. Because now you come under the United States Code. And the United States Code is, oh, my God, it's like 64 titles and chapters. It's 17 feet high. It's thousands of pages. They can change it every single day because if you're a 14th Amendment citizen and a resident of the sovereign state, you have no protections of the state. You are not protected by the Constitution of the state. What's this whole thing with a governor and a legislature and a state legislature, state senators, Congress, you know, congressmen? They're all within your state. They're all supposed to be protecting you, and they don't represent anybody. So, you know, anyway, and as far as the Superman paper goes, what's up with that? What is up with that is they must turn everybody into a corporation so they can fine you. So they can then charge you a public exaction, which is a fine or a tax or whatever, a public exaction that is more than $20 without a jury trial. Because that's what it still says in the Constitution. The Constitution still says you cannot be fined without a jury trial. And by the way, in the Constitution of the California Republic, it says that the right of trial by jury shall not be abridged or denied forever. Actually says forever in it. And you can stand up in court and say, you can't do anything to me without a jury trial. I demand a jury trial. You have the right to a jury trial forever, in perpetuity forever. That's what it says in the California State Constitution. But if you're a corporation, again, and you're interlocking them with a corporation, they can fine you, they can do anything they want without doing what, I mean, you know, you get fined every day for a traffic offense for $400, $500, $600,000, whatever else, and they can do it. Why? Because you're a company, you're a corporation. So what's up with that? As far as the Superman paperwork goes, again, I'm sorry, if you guys want to write us, we're still putting the package together and kind of perfecting everything that's going on, but if you want to write us at sonsofliberty2014@gmail.com, sonsofliberty2014@gmail. What in essence it is that it's you're filing a group of papers with the registrar of the state, which then basically it takes you off the tax rolls. It takes you out of the voting because you can't vote for a system. Voting within a state actually is an act of insurrection against the federal government. I know it sounds weird, but it's an act of insurrection specifically against the feds. So it takes you off the voting rolls, takes you off the tax rolls. You can't vote for a system and then be part of that and not expect to be controlled by that system. So how much it costs, we can discuss later on. You know, we're doing bonds right now, and I'm writing off I just wrote off a lady's house, $600,000 mortgage. I'm going to try to actually get her on the show to talk about the success story on it because she was about ready to – the cops were closing in. And the Saturday before there was supposed to be the auction sale of the house where the bank was going to buy the house, the auction sale was canceled. Not postponed, but canceled. There was a trustee sale because the bank was then going to buy the house. Then the trustee was going to basically sell it to the bank. And the auction sale and the trustee sales were both canceled, and the debt for her mortgage was then basically cleared off her credit completely with the bond that we wrote her. Huge success story. The challenge has been is that nobody believes it. Nobody believes it works, and it does. So right now, my goal is to try to get people out from underneath credit card debt. I just read an article in The Week today about what they call the boomerang kids. I presume these are what they call millennials. So all these people talking about how they want to make millennials happy. Are we really talking about 14-year-olds? We're talking about what, people born in 2000, 2001, millennials? Really? You know, the whole shift of our culture is going to be to make a bunch of slap-happy, Ritalin-addled video game TV junkies happy? If you're listening to the show, you're okay, by the way. So, you know, it's sort of like Chris Rock would say, I hate all you white people except the white people who paid for my show. So, yeah, so we have the Superman paperwork. The Superman paperwork, once you file everything and file a legal public notice as to what your status is, you then send that to 7 federal agencies, and you're done. You can tell the IRS to go piss up a rope. Again, you're out. All, you know, voluntary income tax, you're volunteering until you state something different. Ask an IRS agent, what happens if I don't volunteer? Well, okay, you go to jail. But you sign their documents. You sign the bottom of those papers because you want to get money back from them. It's diabolical. It's a dark genius, but you know, it's very interesting. So anyway, so that's a mail, and those are some letters of some things that are going on. All right, hold on. I had some cool stuff here I wanted to read you. Oh, here we go. Ooh, yummy yum. I might not have time to do this. Are we right at the break, Steve?
Yeah, we're creeping up on it. You may want okay. people a preview.
Okay, so here's a preview of what's coming up. We've got ISIS militants, shocking moments as ISIS militants take sledgehammers to Mosul tomb of Prophet Jonah. This is in the city of Nineveh, by the way. As more than 50 blindfolded bodies are found massacred south of Baghdad. Is there life on Mars? Water can and does exist on the planet, says new research. I feel like killing someone. Police say man beaten to death in front of a crowd at an Amtrak station. Wall Street gets former NSA chief. Keith B. Alexander. Wall Street gets former NSA chief to help banks create what they call a cyber war council. Organ harvesting in the Ukraine goes completely unreported. And here we go. Here's a story Steve and JP are going to love. A new study shows that hypersexuality in women is now linked to high porn use. Yeah. Porn is stupid. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. But according to a new study, women who have sex so frequently that it causes problems may be linked to high rates of masturbation and pornography use. Yeah, okay, you think? Really? You can actually get women to watch pornography? Oh, well. Anyway, Strange Universe. Yes, the show that was taken over by apes a long time ago, back in the past. The program that's simply waiting for Charlton Heston and the Icarus to land so we can take him over and cut out his friend's brains. Ooh, ooh, and we'll be back to Dawn of the Planet of Strange Universe after these very important messages about growing your own food and your wish boxes and all that stuff. Also, I'd like to welcome Paradyne back. We're going to have their commercials back up, and we're going to be talking to Megan Bell, and I want to welcome back to the kids of Paradyne. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. Imagine a box that can make your wishes come true. Does it sound unbelievable? Do you know, over the years, books have been burned and people have gone to prison for discussing this? Why? Because millions of people around the world say it works. I'm talking about the Wishing Machine Radionics Box. These are extremely rare, and for a limited time, you can get one. Go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and click the link to watch a free video about the Wishing Machine and what it can do for your health, relationships, finances, and more. The Wishing Machine can help you with most any problem. Again, you can't find these every day. So go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and watch the free video to learn how the Wishing Machine can help you. You'll see why I and countless people around the world use one every day. Your dream.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out.
Not me.
Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
You're not going to let it play? All right. 26-24. I've got it right here in front of me, so you're just wrong, Steve. You're wrong.
Okay.
26. We'll play the next time around. Right. This time you're just wrong. You must apologize.
No, I'm not. Yeah. You said
yeah, you must. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to say I'm sorry because I said 20. It was 25-24, and then I said no, it's 26-24. I've got it right here in front of me.
Yeah, you corrected it by saying 25-24. I'm staring. Oh,
did I? Oh, I'm an idiot then. Okay, hold on. Oh, I did. You're right. I'm an idiot. I apologize. Okay, yes. I put my monkey paw out to you in supplication, my master. I'm sorry. We just watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes, actually last night. It's great, except for the robot monkey. I would have just been so much happier if they just had a guy in a monkey suit, you know, Andy Serkis in a monkey suit. But interesting movie, again. And it's going to be fun to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. You know what I want to do? I want to go... You know, I've seen most of the movies that I saw in my formative years back in the 70s, between 1976 and 1980 when I was in college. We would go to the University Village 6 Cinema across the street from USC.
and world's greatest place, because you had a very, let's call it a very diverse audience. You had a lot of kids from the neighborhood, if you will, a very dark neighborhood, if you will. And the best place ever to see a horror movie, because I think it's where rap music was invented, because you have a bunch of black people talking through a perfectly good movie, just like yelling at the screen. I think because now rap music is, they take perfectly good songs, usually done by white people, and then they have a black guy usually screaming through most of it. It was the world's greatest movie to ever see, the world's greatest place to ever see the movie Carrie. So the movie Carrie, at the very end, I kid you not, I was sitting at the very end, in the end row, and when Carrie, at the very end, when her hand reached up from the grave, the dream sequence at the end, when her hand reaches up from the grave, I had a 475-pound black woman in front of me do a backflip. I'm not kidding. I mean, you get up and go, wah! Do a backflip up out of her chair and land on me. Crushing me and causing severe damage. So, you know, there you go. But it's the greatest fun ever. I just think I'm going to go to City of Industry or the Heart of Watts or Compton somewhere and go see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes just for the heck of it, you know. And it's just have somebody say, yo, man, that looks like you. That looks like money. That looks like you, brother.
Fun fact, so, they actually filmed that last scene backwards and then played it forward to make it look surreal.
Okay. Well, interesting. I just know why they pick San Francisco for this whole thing, because and not New York. It just doesn't make any sense. First off, San Francisco already looks like that. the monkeys are already running that place. I'm sorry, apes are already running that place. Why they didn't make it New York? Because you see in the background, you actually see some kicker stuff. If you know the original story, you see some stuff in the background of Rise of the Planet of the Apes, where they have the Icarus. The Icarus was the name of the ship that crash lands on the Planet of the Apes, that's captained by Charlton Heston. And they have the Icarus actually taking off to supposedly go to Mars. And then the Icarus is somehow mysteriously lost in space. And, of course, then you have the simian virus and all this other stuff that's spread at the very end of the movie by the cranky neighbor who just so happens to be an airline pilot. So there's some interesting stuff going on. So why this didn't take place in New York, as an example, because that was the area, and then the rest of the country was like the Forbidden Zone. But it seems obvious that the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, that a whole area is upstate New York, somewhere at least on the East Coast. So it'll be fun. I mean, Andy Serkis is an absolute genius. So when you consider he's now been in, he was King Kong, he was obviously Gollum in what, six? He's going to be Gollum in six of the Lord of the Rings movies. Andy Serkis will probably have what, 10 movies, I think, under his belt, that have made like $1 billion apiece. in Atlanta, this is reported on CBS Atlanta. According to a new study, women who have sex so frequently that it causes problems may be linked to high rates of masturbation and pornography use. Okay, first off, is it possible for women to have sex too frequently? Is that okay? A high number of myths concerning female hypersexuality still exist. Female hypersexuality. Well, the myths exist in every pornographic novel and it's the adventures of a slut. Yes, Sally the slut. That's what every male magazine, every penthouse, every penthouse forum, it's slutty adventures, of course. Hypersexuality. Jesse James, go to the AVN conventions and all that. But researchers asked about 1,000 women in Germany. How much they masturbated or watched porn, and how many sexual partners they have had. Most of the women surveyed were college students. Okay, these are the Germans now. Is Germany really a fair cross-section of women across the world? Germans? Because, like, the world's nastiest porn is the German stuff. I mean, it just gets to the point where you're like, ah! The participants answered questions called Hypersexual Behavior Inventory. HBI. Hypersexual Behavior Inventory. Boy, these would be a great series of pickup lines, actually, at any bar. You know, to heck with that whole thing. Excuse me, ma'am, is your last name Patootie because your first name is Cutie? Are you from Jamaica? Because Jamaican me crazy. Do you believe in love at first sight, or shall I walk by again? Do you have a library card? Because I'd love to check you out, baby. Yeah, that's a love master, baby. So it includes 19 questions. about how often a person uses sex to cope with emotional problems. Boy, I'm having a bad day. I need some sex. How many women say that? How many women say, I'm having a bad day. I want sex? No, never. Whether engaging in sexual activity is outside one's control and whether this sexual activity interferes with one's work or school. Ah, see, now I get it. The Germans. Okay, any sex that interferes with working or school is bad in Germany. Anything that keeps you from working at the factory to make the BMWs, to make the Messerschmitts, to make the baby carriages that eventually become machine guns is bad. Anything that takes you off the line from working or from learning things about how to work is bad. So according to older studies, scoring high on that questionnaire meant one needed therapy. Gives you a whole Masters of Sex, Masters and Johnson sort of take on it. But according to the study, about 3% were classified as hypersexual. Again, these are Germans, but this was Live Science reports. The results showed that the more frequently a woman masturbated or watched porn, again, because women just do nothing but masturbate and watch porn all the time. Yeah, because they've got nothing better to do. The more likely she was to score high on the hypersexuality questionnaire. Now, the study found that a high number of sexual partners were also linked to hypersexuality. Once again, a thing that is not common in women. The results of the current study do not support the idea of previous research that hypersexual women are typically engaged in more passive forms of sexual behavior, meaning they lie there, and contradict the assumption that hypersexual women only use sexual behavior to control and influence interpersonal relationships, the authors wrote in the study. Well, okay, there's the old adage that that men give love to get sex and women give sex to get love. Or the visual aspect where, you know, men are visually stimulated, women are emotionally stimulated. Therefore, men look at dirty movies, dirty magazines, something visually stimulating, whereas women, read dirty books. Kind of interesting. There was a movie that I watched. There were two movies that I watched in a row, oddly enough. And it was it starred it was called Don John, and it was written and directed by actress names. I got to start eating my Ginkgo Bilbao nuts or something. Let me see. The Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Sorry, it takes me a minute. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and it was interesting because it was a story about a young guy in New York who's basically addicted to porn. He hooks up with, begins to date Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson is addicted to these romance movies, which she's constantly watching all the time, and he's kind of bored with them. But then because he's in a relationship with Scarlett Johansson, makes him stop drinking, makes him stop watching any pornography, drags him to all these movies, basically completely changes the guy, makes him wear certain clothes, cut his hair a certain way. Makes him jump through all these hoops. Then she catches him watching porn again, and she breaks up with him. And at the very end of the movie, there's a conversation where he goes, well, you made me do a lot of things for you. And she's like, no, I didn't. And then he doesn't really say anything else after that. But it's an interesting dynamic in the relationship of males and females, I think. Another two movies, I don't know why I watched these, but there was a huge write-up in the LA Times about it. And there were some big-time stars in this movie. There's Stellan Skarsgård, Shia LaBeouf, who apparently is losing his mind. He's in alcohol drug rehab after beating people up and going crazy like a monkey in a banana factory at some restaurant in New York somewhere. But it was this director that just abuses the snot out of everybody that works for him. And it had Uma Thurman in it. I mean, some big time names, Uma Thurman, William Defoe, and it was called Nymphomaniac 1 and 2. And it's just this girl that just goes around having sex whenever she wants, wherever she wants, whenever she wants, and has no real feeling for it. It's just this itch that she constantly has to scratch. And you see, she just creates complete and utter chaos within the society, within the civilization. She's having sex with this one guy. Again, she doesn't care at all. She then doesn't want to see the guy anymore. She literally rolls dice as to what she tells her myriad of lovers. She's literally got them coming and going every 10 or 15 minutes out of her house. And obviously, she's giving away for free. And one guy, she says, she rolls the dice about, oh, I'll break up with this guy. I don't want to see you anymore because I can't have you because you have a wife and kids. So the guy shows up at her doorstep with his luggage and said, I've broken up with my wife. And she's like, what? Has no expression whatsoever. He moves into the house. Uma Thurman then shows up with his three kids and says, I just want you to see who daddy's seeing now. And I just want you to see where it all happens. And she just stands there with a complete blank look on her face saying, well, I'm really not that interested in your husband. I really don't care about him at all. I just told him that just to get rid of him. Completely destroyed this woman's life, the kid's life, the father's life, everything else. And it just shows you how she goes through life. And eventually she falls into a life of crime and whatever else. It's kind of an interesting study. And she tells all these tales of woe to Stellan Skarsgård, I think it is. And at the end, Stellan Skarsgård, because she's had sex with like thousands of men, he then tries to have sex with her and she shoots him. Like just runs out of the house, which I'm supposing is the setup for Nymphomaniac 3. But it does show you that what would happen if the female sexual drive was the same as the male sexual drive. First off, nobody we would still be living in trees like monkeys because nobody would get any work done. Hey, you want to screw? Sure. Okay. Everybody does it. And if it was the same thing where it's like, well, I don't know. Well, nobody will find out. Okay, well, let's go do it. You know, slam a lam and ding dong. You know, papa oo mau mau, inagata devita, whatever. If male and female sexual drives are the same, this is why all this feminist stuff, all this feminist claptrap is just nonsense because it's just, they're different. Men and women are different. They're, you know, what's better, a hammer or a screwdriver? What's better, night or day? They're different. Not better or worse. They're different. They do different things. They're wired a different way. And the weird thing that just messes with my head about this dopey feminist philosophy, which has, by the way, has been responsible for virtually completely collapsing Western civilization as we know it. Whether you know it or not, it has. It's been the most successful propaganda campaign ever. Ever. And it's all about, oh, well, you know, you'd pay equal work for equal pay. You know, equal pay for equal work. Okay, well, do you pay a male firefighter the same as a female firefighter? Would you pay a male construction worker the same as a female construction worker? The answer is no. You know why? Because do you really want a woman to rush into a burning building? You think a woman at average of 5'5", 120 pounds, is going to be able to pick you up, carry you down on a flight of stairs, several flights of stairs, and take you out of a burning building? No, you're going to die. If a female firefighter shows up, especially me, try to pick me up, I'm dead. I'm going to die. I don't want a female firefighter showing up. I want a dude who's 6'4", 275, is going to pick me up by the scruff of the neck like a rag doll and drag me downstairs and save me from the fire, number one. Number two, construction worker. You pay the female construction worker more than the male construction worker? Well, guess what? She can physically do probably half the work. So there's that. And at the same time, why is it that these feminists all just want to be really bad imitations of men? Do they think being men is that great? Because anybody who has a career just knows that you just have to work all the freaking time. You work so that you can save up enough money so you don't have to work anymore, so that you can retire and not do anything ever again. Do all the stuff that you like doing. Anyway, the results showed that more frequently a woman masturbated or watched porn, the more likely she was to score high on the hypersexuality questionnaire. The study found that a high number of sexual partners were linked to hypersexuality. The results of the current study do not support the idea of previous research that hypersexual women are typically engaged in more passive forms of sexual behavior and contradict the assumption that hypersexual women only use sexual behavior to control and influence personal relationships. It is not clear if hypersexuality in women often differs from men. Really? As most studies on hypersexuality have been done on men. Which makes no sense. If you're hypersexual, you're a dude. You're just a man. Quote, in many cases, it's much more permissible for men to engage in hypersexuality as opposed to women. Wow. Said by Captain Obvious, Rory Reed, an assistant professor and research psychologist at UCLA. It would take a UCLA person to say something that dumb. Who was not involved in the study. We just called him on the phone and asked him what he thought, just because UCLA sounded like a place where we could get a quote from somebody stupid. Men would be often just characterized as men, being men, if they engaged in hypersexual behaviors. Yeah. as in duh. Yes, that would be correct. Let's see if I can get to the end of the story. No, has my computer frozen up again? Yes, of course it is. All right. Well, I guess that's where the story ends because I can't. My computer's all goofy. There you go. Let me see if that does it. All right. Well, there's more to the story, but I can't get to it. So I have to just re-link this page, apparently. There we go. Hold on. What is that? Huh. Yeah, don't just love. Okay, let's try to go something else. All right. Anyway, DARPA awards $40 million to, again, what is this?
There, Sean, you need help?
No, I'm okay. There's this website called Nature World News and Wisdom Teachings host David Wilcock exclusively on Gaiam TV. Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. He's been doing this Gaiam TV thing for a hot minute now.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's signing up any. Anyway, DARPA has awarded a $40 million towards memory restoration technology aimed at helping military service people cope with brain injuries. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency said that the new Restoring Active Memory, or RAM, will help design and develop wireless, fully implantable neural interface medical devices that can serve as neuroprosthetics. Okay, first off, do you know if DARPA's involved? That's the military, which means they're developing something as a weapon. Second of all, you know, if you're doing it at UCLA is where most of the mind control stuff has come out of, which includes, let me see, Dr. Jolly West, which includes Dr. Goldsmith, which includes basically pioneering things like the full frontal lobotomy, the suborbital lobotomy, and the ice pick lobotomy. All those juicy things came out of UCLA. In a statement released Wednesday, the U.S. military agency said that University of California, Los Angeles, which also stands for unusually classless loser a-holes, and the University of Pennsylvania will each head a team of scientists. Now, researchers will try to develop electronic implants that can find memory lapses in the brain and restore them. Under the agreement, UCLA will get up to $15 million and Penn will receive $22.5 million over 4 years. The teams will receive full funding contingent on completing specific milestones in the project. Now, in addition, this is where it gets really scary because Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, otherwise known as the Valley of Death, will get $2.5 million to develop an implantable device for the UCLA-led project. Now, the memory-restoring devices are being developed to help men and women who have fought war overseas and have suffered brain damage due to traumatic brain injuries, TBI. About 270,000 military service members since 2000 and an estimate 1.7 million U.S. civilians each year are affected by TBI. People with TBI often lose memory of events before the accident and are unable to store long-term memories. By the way, this is how Rise of the Planet of the Apes starts out. I'm not kidding. This is where the research guy, God, man, I need a memory implant.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know. Now I've got you doing it now. Come on, he's in everything. James Franco, right?
Yes.
Yeah, James Franco, we played the scientist in this. And what were they doing? His father, John Lithgow, has Alzheimer's. And he's looking for a way to increase brain function and actually cure Alzheimer's. So they start giving this new chemical to monkeys that's supposed to then repair a neurogenesis, if you will, actually repair brain cells, which is what makes the monkeys super smart. And then, of course, he abandons Caesar to a hippie commune, I think, in San Bruno somewhere, where he takes over the hippie commune and then hippies dressed like monkeys take over the world. But people with TBI lose memory of events before the accident and are unable to store long-term memories. We owe it to our service members to accelerate research that can minimize the long-term impacts of their injuries, said DARPA project manager Justin Sanchez. The start of the Restoring Active Memory program marks an exciting opportunity to reveal many new aspects of human memory and learn about the brain in ways that were never before possible, said Sanchez in a news release. Anyone who's witnessed the effects of memory loss in another person knows, as in this show, it's told of how few options are available to treat it. We're going to apply the knowledge and understanding gained in RAM to develop new options for treating through technology. DARPA said that it's consulting neuroscientists to weigh in on the ethical aspect of fitting people with memory devices. There's an ethical aspect of fitting people with memory devices. The memory implants will be tested on epilepsy patients who have poor memory due to their condition before being used in ex-military servicemen members. Well, I'm glad they're testing it on the civilian population first. In other words, grandma and grandpa, they're going to get tested on. They're going to. Maybe there's an implant in their future, but whatever else. Let me see if I can get to the rest of this article. No. Nope, it's lost to time. I got to quit this whole thing now. All right, I was trying to get to the rest of the article on. Let me see if I can get to the rest of the article on. Maybe if I link it to something else. Nope, just doesn't like me. Okay, all right, This is Safari, ladies and gentlemen. This is how screwed up Safari is. Actually, it's really kind of a shame. So I can do it that way. All right. Yeah, I'm sure you just – yeah. Thank you. Professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you just want me to sit here and link to something. What? Okay. All right. Read the rest of the story at – okay. There we go. And you're still going to mess with me. All right. It just won't – the page just won't go down. Yeah, have some cake. Yeah, all right, thanks. Okay, let me just do that. I can't even get rid of the page now. All right, let me just see if I can find something else here. Got our guest coming up at 4. I hopefully Adam is going to be here. So we'll talk about the transhuman agenda. Now it's all screwed. Okay, well, there we go. Grow your business. I think something infected my computer. I think I must have hit one of those websites where it's like, oh, you know, order stuff from Canada. And away it went. Okay, well, we're going to have our guest, Adam Kokesh, is going to be coming up. I hope if we can get hold of him, if he Skypes in, we'll talk to him at 4 o'clock. We're going to be talking about, I don't know, does the U.S. government just need to go? What's your opinion? Strange Universe. Strange Universe, the only show listened to by hypersexual German women when they're not working at the plant. We'll be back after this.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big ass fries. I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make a purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're having
trouble.
Come
on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
The
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The blood is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
These guys are hammers. And to hammers, everything looks like nails.
I heard that.
You were meant to. So you see something that's important, you call it out, and we'll make it happen.
Okay. Mother Nature is a serial killer. No one's better, more creative. Like all serial killers, she can't help the urge to want to get caught. But what good are all those brilliant crimes if no one takes the credit? So she leaves crumbs. Now the hard part is seeing the crumbs for the clues they are. Sometimes the thing you thought was the most brutal aspect turns out to be the chink in its armor. And she loves disguising her weaknesses as strengths.
If you can fight, fight.
Head north if you can. Hello? Is there anyone out there hearing this?
Help each other.
Mexico City has been declared complete loss.
Be prepared for anything. Our war has just begun.
We are the hammers, and we are the nails. The world stands upon the precipice of total insanity. And we need you, and we hope you need us. Bringing information, news, and as much truth as we can eke out. Before Mother Nature turns us to crumbs. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, working to become millions of voices singing in unison to bring the sanity back home.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This
This is Lorian Fenton from the Fenton Perspective. You're listening to Revolution Radio. And now we take you back to Strange Universe with your host, Sean David Morton.
Okay, here we go.
Are you excited?
Yeah, this is my first vagina.
You've never seen one?
No, I feel like I should have a piece of cake or something.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that right there, right?
Oh, yeah, it's this. It's like from here to here.
Oh.
But that's just the outside. There's these folds.
Okay, I'm going to close the Bible now.
Hatena ashte.
Talking Heads. Wow. I got this weird echo in my headphones now. We good? Okay, there it goes. We just went away. And also, well, let me tell you, I don't know if Adam Kokesh is going to join us or not. He was supposed to call in. He was supposed to Skype in. I don't know what to do about him. So if he comes, he comes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. His loss. So the rest of this report, actually, since I had to reboot my computer to actually do it, remember we were talking about the report about hypersexuality and all that. The study found that hypersexual behaviors in women mirrored those found in hypersexual men. Such behaviors include pornography, dependence, excessive masturbation, and promiscuity. Where do you find that? The study also found, Jersey Shore, maybe. Was this report of one person as the subject of his study? Was it Snooki by any chance? The study also found that hypersexual women tended to be bisexual. Because I buy them something, they get sexual. Oh, most hypersexual men tend to be heterosexual. Yeah. Experts still debate how much. And actually, I would disagree with that. I would think that hypersexual men would tend to be gay. Super hypersexual men would be gay. Are you kidding me? Gay men get sex all the time. I mean, they brag about having like 40 partners in a weekend. So this study is really skewed. Hypersexual men, in order for hypersexual men to get laid, it takes talent, looks, money, a decent job, some charm. Hypersexual women, it takes basically a bad sense of balance. The study, so experts still debate how much sex is too much sex, but say that hypersexual behavior is only a problem when it causes stress or shame, a German survey. It is still a challenge for researchers to identify individuals who may require treatment. Yeah, because basically hypersexual girls are too busy on yachts and washing Snoop Dogg's car in their bikini and marrying Kanye without falsely stigmatizing others and their normal or non-pathological sexual behavior, the researcher said. The study was published by the Journal of Sexual Medicine. There's a whole journal just for sexual medicine. So, okay, what are we doing? You something about, all right, is Adam here?
He's about to, he's about to be here. He just has to call right back because Skype issues. I forgot to make the update that makes this not an issue. So have him call back. It'll be fine.
Okay, so he's calling back, right?
So Adam, if you're listening, please call back right away.
Okay. Sorry to make this so hard for you, Adam. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. If we were running a real radio station, we would have an actual line that actually connected in, and we would have a phone line for people to call. But no, it's not. It's run out of people's basements and houses. All right. Okay. Hold on. Oh, it wasn't him? Okay. Well, never mind.
No.
It wasn't him that called, is what you're telling me. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just... all right. Is there life on Mars? Do we care? I don't know. Do we send... what does Mars want? It obviously wants our moms. It wants our women. Water can and does exist on this planet, new research says. This, once again, is from the Captain Obvious file that we've known that they've been lying to us about Mars for a long time. Water in its liquid form can exist on Mars, but apparently only during the summer and spring months and only for a couple of hours at a time, according to a new study. Researchers at the University of Michigan have found that despite Mars's sub-zero temperatures, small amounts of liquid water are able to form on the planet's surface at the right temperature and with the presence of salt, furthering the idea that the planet can support life. You know, there are big white Arctic regions on Mars that they're trying to tell you don't have water. Anyway, the findings are made after the research team at the University of Michigan created special chambers to imitate the freezing conditions found on the surface of Mars. That's if they're telling us the truth about them. In these chambers, it was found that water in its liquid form could be produced for short periods of time. The study also found that this would only be possible if a type of salt found on Mars last year was present. In 2008, the lead researcher of the latest study, Dr. Nilton Reno, that's a great name, I'm Nilton Reno, I'm the toughest, roughest researcher in the West, discovered water beads on the leg of the Phoenix Mars lander. In other words, there is dew on the surface of Mars, one of NASA's Mars rovers, just after it landed on the planet's surface. It was Reno's theory that the water found in the spacecraft was created after salts had melted the ice underneath the Phoenix and found their way onto the spacecraft when the craft's thrusters blasted away the surface's topsoil. Many of his contemporaries disagreed because there had been no evidence that the salts he was describing had existed on Mars. However, in 2013, NASA Mars rover Curiosity found the type of salts that Reno was describing. And following this discovery, those at University of Michigan carried out the experiment that looked to recreate the conditions that had occurred during the Phoenix's landing. The two scenarios were tested at different temperatures, one that saw just salt placed on a temperature-controlled plate created to simulate the Mars surface, and one where salty soil was placed directly on ice. In the first test, no liquid formed. In the second experiment, researchers found that placing salty soil directly on 3 millimeters of ice led to water droplets forming when the chamber reached minus 73 Celsius. While a number of missions and studies have provided evidence for the existence of water on Mars in the past, water in its physical liquefied state has yet to be found directly on the planet's surface. Nevertheless, the new study adds to this wealth of evidence and gives scientists clear indications as to where water can be found on the planet and what time is the best time to have it. Okay, I think he's here. Okay, so whoever this is, he's here. Adam, is that you?
No, Sean, it's not.
Okay, all right. All right, then who's this then?
No, I was asked to call back because you were waiting for a call from Adam, but...
That's fine. We can take more than one call. If he shows up, he shows up. Obviously, this is just kind of a... Once again, it's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes week, so is it any wonder that everything's being run by monkeys? So go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay. I actually tried to call in, like, I think it was 2 days ago. You had a lady on as a producer instead of your regular guy.
Yeah, we had Solaris Blue Raven, but she had no call-in capabilities. She was basically just here to hold the signal from the mothership. It's okay. This is all technical stuff. It's just completely boring to everybody. All they care about is to hear a show. So again, what's on your mind? What's going on? What's roiling in that fevered brain of yours?
I'll make it quick, but
it's okay. You can make it long. We got an hour. I was supposed to have a guest. You can have as long as you want. Go tell me your life story.
She was sexier than Steve.
Definitely, yeah, definitely true. Yes, that's hard to do, but definitely true.
Okay, so anyway, I heard you talking about Lou Dodds, and he's a guy that I respect a lot.
Love it.
I just was curious as to what you thought about Andrew Napolitano, whom I like.
Yep, he's great.
And also Megyn Kelly, who did a great interview. I don't know if you heard it with Bill Ayers.
I'm sorry, who was it again?
Mr. Ayers, Obama's mentor.
Right, yes, yeah, Lou Ayers. Yes, yes, we played, I think we played clips of it on the show.
Yeah, well, I don't catch you every night, so... Anyway, I was just curious as to what you thought about her interview with him. I thought she was pretty tough and pretty good.
No, well, actually, in the same program where she went after Ayers, look, Ayers is a murderer. That's the bottom line. Ayers is a murderer. He's a terrorist. He's bombed police stations. He's bombed the Pentagon. As a matter of fact, you know, when he was one of the weathermen, he was a bad weatherman because he blew up, I think, two of his own cohorts because of a bomb that he made went off too soon. You know, we're talking about a guy that not only should be in prison, but should have gotten the death penalty, should have been hung from a tree, lit on fire, and hit with sticks a long time ago. That's number one. And this is Barack Obama's political and social mentor. This is the guy that Obama, once he became president, distanced himself from. But as everyone knows, he made his announcement to run in William Ayers's living room, I believe. I mean, he was a quote a community organizer, whatever that means, which means Obama probably just hung out on the stoop of his house when his alias was Tony D. Tiger or Harrison J. Bonnell and basically distributed crack to all his buddies. And then Lou Dobbs, who's the founder, one of the founders of CNN, who started CNN Financial Network, did six stories, a grand total of six stories, where they were just curious about what was going on with the birth certificate. Six stories total in his career, which is what got him fired off CNN. That's how powerful the people in charge are, that they want to cover up the fact that the absolute fact, I think, now, because it's been proven, in my opinion, it's been proven in a court of law already, because they didn't even want to show up for it. But, I mean, we've got an illegal alien as president of the United States. You can then link that to a biblical prophecy, if you will, where the Bible talks about when a nation is in its final states of decay. And you can say a lot of bad things about the Bible, and you can point out that as far as the social commentary of how civilizations run, it's very interesting. Biblically speaking, the Bible talks about the progress of a nation, that you have that most nations last 200 years, and we're right about there, actually. And then at the end of 200 years, you go into a four cycles of 50, and then you go into a last 50-year cycle that is known as the fifth cycle of discipline. And each cycle says that you have to do certain things. For example, you have to obey the Jubilees. I mean, there's just certain things that if you do these things, the nation is powerful, you possess the gates of your enemies, you're strong, you're mighty, no one will mess with you. And I mean, there's very simple biblical laws. Whether or not we can even carry them out today, I don't know. But you still do have some of those laws actually that have then been translated over, actually not only the biblical Old Testament laws and codes, but also the laws and codes of the Iroquois that were all taken into consideration when they were putting the Constitution together. Not so much the Constitution, but when they were putting the Bill of Rights together as well. And very briefly, it's everything's based on seven-year cycles, that every 7 years you repudiate all contracts, you forgive all debt, you free all slaves or anybody that's under contract. You can't have a work contract that lasts more than 7 years. Anybody that's exiled from the country. And this is, by the way, where our statutes of limitations come from. This is also where our bankruptcy laws and codes come from, that every seventh year you declare what's called the Jubilee. And the Jubilee is, it gives everybody a chance, everybody across the board gives them a chance to start over. So debts are repudiated, contracts are broken. This is why you usually only sign I think 7 year work contracts legally. And then very specifically, you're supposed to let the land lie fallow. In other words, you're not supposed to grow wheats or grains on land in that seventh year. Now, you're guaranteed a bumper crop in the sixth year. You're supposed to live off that. And then you replant after that because it returns the nutrients and the minerals to the soil, which means the food you ate makes you stronger. And if you get stronger, then you can protect – you're a better fighter and you can protect your land. And then 7 times 7 is 49. And the 49th year, biblically, at the end of this 50-year cycle, you let the land lie fallow for 2 years – and you give the land back to the people that originally owned it. So, for example, if you went bankrupt or you lost your farm or your ancestral land, I come in and take over your land. I could only use your land for 50 years or less, and then I would have to give it back to either you or your heir, and usually the eldest son, as an example. And the reason property passes to sons is because you also have to provide a militia In other words, you have to provide your sons and your people to take up, you know, swords, spears, whatever, to provide a militia, if you will, if an army needs to be raised to be able to protect the land. This was the whole Jubilee system was put together to keep the money and the land from accumulating in the hands of 1% of the people. And what happens is that land and money always accumulates in the hands of 1% of the people about every 50 years or so. And so instead of having a revolt or a bloody revolution where people want to get their power back, you had a series of biblical laws in place to be return land, return money, break contracts, break debts, et cetera, et cetera. And also, when you look at interest banking and usury, which is a Babylonian system, it was vehemently outlawed, actually, in the Old Testament. And then suddenly somebody sneaks in there and puts a little code in, which is not in the original text. But it says that once again, you have to understand that after the book of Jeremiah, and really after the book of Lamentations, when the 10 tribes of Israel disappear, there's a big civil war in Israel, and the civil war was between the 10 tribes in the north and the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi in the south. And what they were really fighting over was the location of the temple. That was a big deal, the location of the temple, whereas the 10 tribes believed that the actual temple site and the mountain of Moses was actually in Jordan, which is true. We've now discovered this is absolutely true. Whole different version of the Bible, because the Israelites did not escape from the city of Luxor in Egypt and move across the Red Sea. They escaped from the city of Heliopolis, and they moved across an area called the Reed Sea, which means most of their wandering was done not in Sinai, south of Egypt in the Arabian areas, but north, which then puts them in Jordan, which then puts them in a whole different area of the world. And this has been proven. I was working on a whole documentary about this. Most of my research fell into the hands of James Cameron. James Cameron then did a documentary called The Exodus Code, which found all these places and all these locations and whatever else. The bottom line of this whole thing is that it says that you can loan money at interest to anybody that's not a Jew, anybody that's an Azur. Actually, the word is Azur, which meant stranger. And of course, we're on Strange Universe, which meant anybody that was a racial alien or somebody that was different racially from you. And of course, what would happen is that you would use fractional interest banking. You would go into a town with a strong box full of gold and jewels and diamonds or rubies or whatever, open the strong box and start yourself a bank where you get a bunch of thugs to surround a building and you put a vault together, and then you get people to give you their gold or silver or jewels or what have you. You'd write script against it, and then you would inflate the script. And the Babylonian system is interesting. I'll explain the whole banking system to you. The Babylonian system is you have 10 people, and you've got one banker, and the banker's got a gun, and the banker gives each of these 10 people 10 coins. So there's 100 coins in the game. At the end of the game, everybody plays and goes back and forth, sort of it basically Monopoly. And at the end of the game, the banker demands that they be paid back an 11th coin. Well, there's not 110 coins in the system. Therefore, 9 people have to then gang up on one person, beat him up, you know, rape him, take his stuff, take his coins in order to pay back the banker. And then the banker shoots that person that loses the game. That's the Babylonian banking system right there. That's fractional interest banking. That's why capitalism, as we know it, has to constantly expand. That's why you have to constantly expand, because interest banking, which is, by the way, the money that's made off interest is just made up. And this is why Islam forbids it. This is why the Catholic Church used to savagely forbid it. This is another reason why the original Mosaic codes forbid it, except saying that, well, you can't do these. And they actually then, using the Talmud, which is a bunch of old hairy Jewish guys who got together to say, well, you know, God didn't really mean that. God meant this, and we can do this if we do that. And in essence, the Talmud then tells you that all of the biblical laws and codes are only for other Jews, and that the Gentiles are dogs or pigs or cattle, basically goyim, which is what the word means, and that they are to be basically raped and enslaved. And you can do anything you want to them as long as you don't do it to another Jew. That's the weird twerk of the philosophy of the Talmud, which is another thing that Jesus came along to change and shift. So you can trace the Babylonian banking system. You can trace virtually every war. You can go back to Mesopotamia, Alexander the Great, and all that, and trace every single war going all the way down through time. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I know it's your show, so I don't interrupt that often, but I just want to tell you.
Go ahead.
What I like about you, Sean, is that you don't speak for God.
I don't pretend to.
No, you don't. And you know, I grew up a Catholic, and
maybe about 15 years ago. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
I couldn't do the chants. I couldn't do the readings at church. And I guess when people ask you to have faith, I don't trust anybody that tells you to have faith. You have a mind, use it, right?
Right, I agree. And let me point out that let me put it this way: the Old Testament scriptures, no matter where they came from, are in essence an owner's manual to planet Earth. They tell you how to work the planet. And look, you could be a communist, you could be an agnostic, you can be whatever. There's certain laws and codes that just work with the Earth, as an example. And the rest of the Bible, and actually I'll point out that the establishment of these various laws and codes show that when a nation obeys them, they become mighty and powerful and possess the gates of their enemies, and they're on top, if you will. Then when they disobey them, and by the way, this is where the prophets come in. The prophets come in and say, guess what? You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You're doing A, B, and C, and X, Y, and Z will logically follow. And I can tell you that you're going to be destroyed because of this, that, and the other thing. I mean, I'll give you an example of this. There seems to be as well. And then the rest of the Bible is a series of interactions with extraterrestrials and a series of dreams and mystic experiences, which we're all still having today. But there's a direct interaction with a physical being named Yahweh, who has angels that he sends to certain places. Probably one of the most interesting parts of the Bible for me. And this is why it's so interesting that these ISIS guys just went in and just raided the tomb of Jonah, who, in my opinion, was one of the most important prophets in the Old Testament. But if you look at, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah had an overwhelmingly homosexual population. And what was happening is that and in modern day, and again, I infirm or again him. And the bottom line is, if you look at the statistical facts, that homosexuals make up less than – I'm talking about male homosexuals, female – lesbians do not spread disease. They just don't. There's no disease. There's no AIDS. There's no nothing in the lesbian community. The male homosexual community, however, even though it makes up less than 2% of the population, is responsible for something like 60% of sexually transmitted diseases. So there was a disease in the Old Testament that they called the withering that looked exactly like AIDS. It was called the withering, like something that withers away, as an example. And it looked exactly like AIDS. And there was a lot of reason why the transmission of blood was such a big deal, that you never wanted women on their periods to be able to – they couldn't cook. They couldn't touch any sharp objects. They couldn't touch knives or spears or anything that would then get into the food, as an example. So you had an overwhelmingly homosexual population that was spreading disease that could have wiped out mankind at that time.
FreedomSlips.com. We'll be right back.
Yes, no, it's just us. Not strange after this.
All right, keep going. I'll listen on the other side.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. Imagine a box that can make your wishes come true. Does it sound unbelievable? Do you know, over the years, books have been burned and people have gone to prison for discussing this? Why? Because millions of people around the world say it works. I'm talking about the Wishing Machine Radionics Box. These are extremely rare, and for a limited time, you can get one. Go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and click the link to watch a free video about the Wishing Machine and what it can do for your health, relationships, finances, and more. The Wishing Machine can help you with most any problem. Again, you can't find these every day. So go right now to StrangeUniverseRadio.com and watch the free video to learn how the Wishing Machine can help you. You'll see why I and countless people around the world use one every day. Your dreams come
true. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Revolution. Revolution. Radio. Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
There you go. That's the one of the great talk about a one-hit wonder. That's Autograph. Turn up the radio. Things go better with rock. Everybody thinks it's Kiss. I think, but it's not. It's a band called Autograph. They had
one. I thought it was Def Leppard. Honestly,
exactly. Because Def Leppard actually does a song called Autograph as well. The band is called Autograph. The song is called Turn Up the Radio.
It is very much in the same like shtick, and it's actually Photographed by Def Leppard, but it's like it's the same style. It's all that arena rock,
right? It's that great driving, yes, arena rock and roll. It's just dun 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 dun. You know, the thing that made the 80s great. You know, and now they're trying to tell us that the 90s were the last great decade. I'm like, oh, really? The 90s? Okay, I was there in the 90s. It wasn't, believe me, the decade was not so great. What do we have? It was the decade that everybody got away with it. Clinton got away with it. Hillary got away with it. OJ got away with it. Everybody got away with it in the 90s. And actually, I could feel everything turn. It was very strange because I was working as a DJ in a bunch of clubs. I mean, I was like the stuff. I worked at a weird Sunday night like fetish club in Silver Lake, which is very strange. I mean, I was just the DJ watching this stuff go by. And then Vertigo, which was like 2,500 people on a Friday and Saturday night. And then Houlihan's, which was like, you know, you're rocking and rolling for like 300 people or so. All right, we got a caller. I was going to finish up my, I think it's the same gentleman that just talked to us, but if he wants to rejoin, that's fine.
No, that was 413. This is 509.
Yeah, that's, well, the other gentleman was just 509. Are you back, 509?
Yeah, this is Eliyahu. Thank you,
John. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Oh.
Hi. You had mentioned earlier about Marshall Masters. He's the guy who sells the Colburn Bible and talks about Planet X.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who he was, and I have no idea. I've been arguing with the Planet X people since 2003, since we were supposed to be destroyed by Planet X in 2003, and You know, and again, having known Zachariah Sitchin really well, and who actually came up with the book, The 12th Planet, and talked about Planet X and all this, even Zachariah Sitchin was saying, it's, I don't know if we want to get into Planet X or not, but even Zachariah Sitchin said that even if Planet X is out there and it is coming back around, that it's not going to happen until somewhere around the 29th century. Even Zachariah said that. And now it turns out that now that we can actually translate most of the ancient Sumerian cuneiform, there's people that are kind of accusing Zachariah of just making everything up. But yeah, so no, I don't know who he is, and I'm not really familiar with him.
No, he used to be a science editor for CNN, I believe, and he's dug up this Colburn Bible and published it, saying a secular account of what happened last time Planet X came through. But he's been a guest on Coast, and I figure you might have known Steve Quayle the other day. He said, get out of California, so I figure it's important if you're there.
Well, there's a lot of interesting. There's a lot of interesting things that might be coming down in August, actually, here, but at the same time, the rest of the, if you'll notice, the rest of the country is a living hell right now. And everything that I've talked about for the East Coast, as an example, I have, you know, I predicted a long time, and this wasn't just me. This was a remote viewing class that I was teaching in the 90s, where I asked people to project to the year 2015. And I've been telling people on the East Coast that every 2 years they're going to have these murderous hurricanes. And now you have a hurricane coming up the East Coast, which has a lot to do. It has a lot to do with the desalinization of the water in the Gulf because of all the core exit that they dumped in the Gulf to sink all the oil from the oil rig that exploded in April of 2010, the Deepwater Horizon. And now they've disrupted what's called the thermopile, which is the warm air that comes around Florida. Number one. And number two, now that the polar north, the electromagnetic polar north, in 2009, and this was once again a big giant experiment. Oh, be still, Angel. My cat's commenting here. A big giant experiment that happened in December of 2009 that is now making the electromagnetic North Pole actually, instead of going north, because if EM North and True North met, there was a theory that the planet could possibly tilt or turn over. So now the electromagnetic north is now heading at a pretty rapid clip, I might add, due east, and is now in the middle of the Siberian Sea. So these two things coming together, the polar vortex that I talked about, the Siberian, what's called the Siberian Express, is now coming across. Instead of in the Midwest, it's coming into the East Coast, which is what's creating the polar vortex. And I predicted all this. I told everybody it was going to happen, that it's happening right now. And California, it's a nice day. It's, you know, it's 82 degrees and it's nice. And nothing's going to happen to Southern California, I guarantee you. We've had military operations that have triggered a series of earthquakes along the San Andreas Fault, starting with, I think, probably the Northridge quake, which was one of the first of the artificial controlled rolls to make sure that nothing happens to us. And, you know, at the same time, if you lost California, you would lose, first off, if California slid into the ocean, it would be it for the rest of the world, because you would have a 3,000-foot tidal wave that would probably rocket around the world 30 or 40 times, wiping out most life on Earth as we know it, number one. Number two, it's the center of the entertainment industry. And, of course, the New World Order has to have the propaganda arm of the military-industrial complex in order to talk everybody into their dumb nonsense to be able to put us all in cages. Number three, it's still the heart of the military-industrial complex here. And number four, it's we can't let all these fantastically beautiful women die. So that's a whole other thing. So California's going to be fine. I kept telling everybody, we're going to be good here. The East Coast is what's going to suck. The whole rest of the country is either burning up or being flooded away.
Did you hear about this movie Brick Mansions? There was a little bit on it on Before It's News. And they talk about foreshadowing of nuking Chicago, because it's about decayed-out Detroit. And they want to put a wall up around it. It was Paul Walker's last movie, and he died shortly after making it. But in the movie, their solution to burned-out Detroit was to nuke it. But when they showed the pictures of what they were nuking, it was Chicago. And when this came out on Before It's News, all of a sudden, that movie Brick Mansion started appearing all the place, you know, disappearing off all the places you could download it.
There's just no profit in it. You know, all these people, look, I get it. There's all these people out there, you know, all these talk show hosts and internet guys who are jumping up and down trying to get attention. trying to tell you that they're going to blow stuff up and there's going to nuke here and nuke there and nukey nuke everywhere. It's just not happening. It's even if you understand, if we understand 9/11, if you understand what happened on 9/11, that there was a suite of technologies that were used to bring down those buildings, not just WTC 1 and 2, but WTC 7 as well, that a series of explosives, thermite, that they'd been putting in those buildings for the last 10 years or so as part of the retrofit. The amazing part to me was WTC 7. One of those aircraft, something happened to one of the airplanes. This was just their big fail. One of those airplanes was supposed to, probably the one that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, was probably the one that was supposed to hit WTC 7. And by 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when that hadn't happened, and they realized, look, we got to blow up 7 because we stole all the gold out of the basement, which is what the firemen found, that billions of dollars of gold had been looted out of the basement of WTC 7, which is, in fact, the plot of Die Hard 3. If you actually watch Die Hard 3 with Jeremy Irons and Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis and all that, that's exactly the plot of Die Hard 3. Basically, terrorist actions, bombs in schools, all this other stuff, distract everybody while they steal the gold out from underneath WTC 7. Watch the movie. And somebody
talks.
Sorry?
Nobody ever talks about where that flight's intended target was to begin with.
WTC 7. And somebody just said, screw it, pull it, blow it up. Nobody will know. And that's the cover-up. The cover-up is they didn't even bother. They just got lazy at the end. They didn't even bother. They had truck bombs on the George Washington Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge, which the cops found, which they talked about for 2 days, and then they covered that up as well. I think they had a bomb in the Lincoln Tunnel also. And this was supposed to be like a total annihilation of New York, and it got stopped. Here's my point. My point is that you had thermite bombs. You did have the airplanes hit. These people that are talking about holograms, I think, are just kind of nutty. But then you had a scalar wave weapon that was actually used to vaporize, probably, which came from this was probably a suite of scalar wave or HARP type developed technologies. They probably had ships about 50 miles off the coast that were actually bouncing this thing onto it to basically decimate. They literally turned the steel beams into smoke, if you will. And the footprint. I'm just trying to explain that even when they blow up WTC 7, the damage to the surrounding area was completely minimal. It was a controlled demolition. This whole thing was not, they could have just dropped a bomb on New York City. But do you guys not understand that the matrix that you're trapped in is their matrix? Do you not understand that the cities that you live in, again, are controlled by corporations, which are disguised as governments, which wear the public side? On the public side, you're all on your knees. On the public side, you're constantly in debt. On the private side, they're rolling in money. If you want to check what are called CAFR funds, which is the certified account financial reports of any single one of these states. California, for example, we're still $6-7 billion in the hole or something. We've got something like $60-plus billion on the private side where the comptroller of the state says, well, we can't mix public and private funds. You can't take anything from the CAFR funds, which are the stockholders of the corporation that runs the government. You can't take any of that money and transfer it over. So the public is always to be broke, always to be taxed, always to be oppressed. Whereas on the private side, the people that own the stocks, the stockholders of the government, if you will, are fat and happy and always will be. So everybody that talks about these giant, they did this and they did that, and there's going to be a nuclear bomb that's going to blow up this and that. They will pull, if they pull off another terrorist action, it will be very tightly controlled. I mean, the best they could do, for example, recently was the Boston bombing, and most of that was fake. There were probably some people that were hurt, but the majority of what I saw were crisis actors, and this thing was pumped up and puffed out so that they could practice their martial law in the city of Boston. The other one was probably, Sandy Hook, where their agenda is? Yes. Were there people killed at Sandy Hook? Yes. Was there some fakery and some shenanigans that were going on at the same time? Yes. It's part of the confusion. It's part of the psyop. It's part of the It's like at Area 51 at 4:50 a.m. on a Thursday morning. Sometimes we would see a plane and the lights would come on and it would land at Area 51. Other times we would see a light come on in the sky and this thing would zip all around in the sky. And then we would say, oh, look, there's a flying saucer. And we'd film it and we'd do all kinds of stuff with it. And then people would say, oh, well, it's just a plane that comes in at that time, because sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. It's all sleight of hand. It's all a big trick. So anyway, I don't know what else to tell you other than – the only time The only time they get out the guns and the sticks and the dogs and the cops and everything else is when people don't want to stay in the corral, when people don't want to stay in the box. Their goal right now is to take all the sheep and put all the sheep in smaller and smaller pens and corrals, and then make sure one group of sheep gets fed more than another group of sheep, so one group of sheep gets mad at the other group of sheep, not realizing that it's the farmer and the master who's stealing out the food all at the same time. You know, this is another reason why these elites are all into communism. Why, you know, why communist systems? Because communist systems empower the elite, ultimately, because in a communist system, it means the government owns all the means of production, as opposed to a fascist system where the government just tells you what to do. You have to mow the lawn or paint it blue or keep it up, but they tell you what you can do, who you can hire, how much you can pay them. So the government comes in with its fascism, if you will, still pretending to be a free enterprise system. But when you understand that, you know, the definition of tyranny is when you understand that the very definition of this, according to Thomas Jefferson, Jefferson said, is that when you have a government that makes the laws, interprets the laws, and then enforces the laws, which is virtually every government agency out there, BLM, IRS, you know, pick one that now has have guns and trucks and SWAT teams and you know, whatever else. That's the definition of tyranny. And all of these governments, all of these corporations are now disguised as government because the corporations took the governments over when the government, U.S. government specifically, declared bankruptcy in 1933. It's just that easy. So, and actually every 70 years, you actually then have a kind of a global reset, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. And I, by the way, I just wanted to finish because you and I were having the conversation before. We were having the conversation before about Sodom and Gomorrah and about all that. Here you have Sodom and Gomorrah, which can be, I think, biblically proved to be somewhere that was probably destroyed by some kind of either nuclear weapons or, I mean, we know where the location of Sodom and Gomorrah is now. We know that these are prime port cities. Nothing has ever prospered in this particular location ever, possibly because of radiation or what have you. And what was the story? The story was is that Abraham was on a hilltop overlooking it, and he's actually having a conversation. They translate it later as the Lord or God or whatever. There was a physical guy, if you actually look in the Old Testament, who was called Machaventa Melchizedek, of the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek they referred to as Lord Melchizedek. And it became known as Lord or the God, if you will. And it seems to be that he was, I don't know, the commander of the mission on earth or what have you. And he was saying, look, the city's got to go. We've got to destroy the city. There are too many people spreading too much disease. Once again, something that looked just like AIDS, this blood disease called the withering. There's just too many homosexuals spreading too much disease. They're going to, if this plague spreads, it's going to wipe out the indigenous population. And he said, well, if I can find, you know, 50 guys who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And when you understand that Baal, the god Baal was a giant phallus. It was a huge penis. And they had these, in the testicles, the big balls, they would literally have a furnace. And on Ishtar or Easter, they would throw babies in the furnace. And Ishtar was a gigantic orgy. It was like the purge. Except for 3 days, you got to basically screw anybody that you could get your hands on. So the whole city was just involved in kind of a giant orgy, if you will. And they'd throw babies into the fire and all this. Bowed the knee to Baal meant some guy that hadn't taken it up the butt to spread disease. And the bottom line was that is it then because Abraham's brother Lot actually lived in the town, he was like, well, if I can find, you know, 40 guys that aren't homosexuals, okay, 30, okay, 20, okay, 10. And yeah, and Melchizedek said, okay, 10. If you find 10 that aren't, you know, total pervos, then, you know, I'll spare the entire city. And he couldn't do it. And so that's why when the angels came, and by the way, angels did not have wings until I think something like the 10th century or something like that. Angels come and they're going to sleep in the streets, and Lot says, no, 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 and he brings them into the house. Well, guess what? All the gay boys from West Hollywood show up outside his house and say, hey, we want to, you know, who are those two hot dudes? Throw them out to us so we can rape them. And he says, you don't know who you're messing with. No, please, hear me. And he was the first Jew in history to say, take my wife, please. He was the Henny Youngman of his day. Grabs his wife. He throws his wife to the crowd. The crowd throws her back, says, nah, we don't want your raggy old wife. Then he grabs his two virgin daughters. He basically throws his 12-year-old girls to the crowd. And they beat him up some and throw him back and say, we don't want the girls. We want the boys. And they rush the door. And the angels say, is there a problem? And then they come out front door and say, can we help you guys? And they rush them and they hold their hands up and some flashbang grenade or something comes out of their hands and they blind the crowd. And then they come in and they say to Lot, this place has got to go. Sorry, you know, you've got 24 hours to get your get your wife and family the hell out of here. The reason I'm pointing this out is because, once again, there were laws in the Old Testament that if you obeyed them every 50 years, that, and the biggest law in the 50th year had to do with the Jubilee, where you let the land lie fallow for 2 years and you returned the land back to the people that originally owned it. And so this kept the land and the money from accumulating in the hands of 1% of the people. It basically stopped an aristocracy. It stopped a bureaucratic aristocracy, which is why it was such a big deal when Samuel comes along and the Israelites wanted a king, because the whole system was set up to not have that. And Samuel basically gives them a king as a punishment, really, because he goes to Yahweh and he says, well, they want to be like the Philistines. They want to be like everybody else. And Samuel says, don't you understand, once you get a king, you're going to have one guy responsible for your karma, one guy that can take you to war, one guy that will be responsible for basically the fate of the nation. You've got a great system of government now. You don't really have a central leader. You're, you know, leading everything through councils and whatever else. And they kept insisting. So he said, fine, I'll give you a king. And he gave him Saul. And Saul turned out to be a complete maniac. And he was from the house of Benjamin. And then they gave him David after that. And what did David do? David also turned into a maniac. And he was cursed with, because he was all screwing everybody's wives and you know, having like a weird gay relationship with Jonathan and all kinds of crazy stuff. Yet he was the most beloved of God, and God said, "Well, I'm going to make your progeny is going to be the savior of mankind." But it wasn't such a good idea. You only had maybe two good kings: you had Hezekiah and maybe Solomon, possibly, if Solomon even really existed. Although he might have, there's an Egyptian character named Tutmosis that might actually have been Solomon. But so that was the whole point of it. And then if you didn't do these things in, you know, for four cycles of 50, which is 200 years, your nation was destroyed. You would have 7 good years for those who knew to prepare. And you can actually look at the 200-year anniversary of really America was, I would say, 1991, not 1776, because the actual form of government that we have now, because from 1776 until 1789, you had the Articles of Confederation, which were working just fine. We had 9 different presidents of the Confederacy, if you will, where they rotated amongst the states. Then they instituted the Constitution as a debt instrument to basically buy off the British, which is why Samuel Adams and Patrick Henry called Washington a traitor to the Revolution, and they were screaming and yelling, and all kinds of people were very upset that they were doing this stupid Constitution thing. As I said, the Constitution basically guarantees that the people that signed that document would get repaid their money for what they actually put out in the war, and paid Cornwallis and George III £600,000 sterling as reparations for the Revolutionary War. That's a fact. And Ben Franklin's grandson brought that out in 1798, and the people were so mad that they passed the original 13th Amendment. And the original 13th Amendment said you cannot take title or land or a title of nobility from anybody from a foreign government without being stripped of your citizenship. I'm not sure what else they would do. North Carolina wanted to hang anybody that took it. And guess what? We have an entire class of people now who take titles of nobility from the British crown today. We call them lawyers because they take a title of nobility that we call esquire. And, you know, once again, you stand up in court with them saying, oh, we don't have titles of nobility. Really? Well, where's the esquire title come from with these, you know, snotbag attorneys?
So I make a few comments before you.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
We've seen foreshadowing of certain events, like on a Simpsons cartoon. So they have 911 in the background, and right, they don't come out and flash it. I noticed myself before 911, there was a communist rap band from Oakland, California, called The Coup, C-O-U-P. And right, they had an album cover that was due out in July that year that showed their leader blowing up the Twin Towers in New York.
Yeah, it showed, actually, it had two rap guys on it that had the Twin Towers above them where there was a plane crashing into it and it was blowing up, yes.
Right, but I think this stuff was in the Bible, as you're talking about, like the handwriting on the wall in Daniel 5.
Right.
That's 2,520 years exactly before 911 blew up. And what was being blown up was that Babylonian maritime economy that you were describing earlier, and you did a very good job on that. But that was the image of the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron that Nebuchadnezzar had prior to that, that the transition from the gold to silver happened the night that Belshazzar died, when the handwriting on the wall occurred, and 2,520, and that number is encoded in that passage.
Yep,
all through
that's
that
right.
passage.
And by the way, there's a passage in the book of Revelation that talks about how the whore of Babylon and the city and the tower that would fall within an hour. And, I mean, it's very specifically gives a description. I mean, after 9/11, I was in New York, and I read this passage of the Bible to a crowd of people and said, sound pretty accurate to you? So you're absolutely right. And, by the way, there was a bunch of religions that were started because the end of the prophecies of Daniel of 2,300 years actually ended in 1844. And you have a guy by the name of John Miller who started the Millerites, which later became known as the Seventh-day Adventists. I think he also misinterpreted the Great Step in the Great Pyramid of Giza as well.
I got another take on the 2,300. Alexander the Great.
We don't have much time. You've only got about 2 minutes, so make it fast.
Okay, Alexander the Great, 190 years after the night the handwriting appeared on the wall, he conquered Babylon.
We're done already? Hold on 1 second. I guess we're done. Are we done?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sorry about that, man. Hey, thank you so much for calling in. I always appreciate your wisdom.
Hammers. Everything looks like nails.
I heard that.
You were meant to. So you see something that's important, you call it out, and we'll make it happen.
Okay. Mother Nature is a serial killer. No one's better, more creative. Like all serial killers, she can't help the urge to want to get caught. And what good are all those brilliant crimes if no one takes the credit? So she leaves crumbs. Now the hard part is seeing the crumbs for the clues they are. Sometimes the thing you thought was the most brutal aspect turns out to be the chink in its armor. And she loves disguising her weaknesses as strengths.
If you can fight, fight.
Head north if you can.
Hello? Is there anyone out there hearing this?
Help each other.
Mexico City has been declared complete loss.
Be prepared for anything. Our war has just begun.
We are the hammers, and we are the nails. The world stands upon the precipice of total insanity, and we need you, and we hope you need us, bringing information, news, and as much truth as we can eke out before Mother Nature turns us to crumbs. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Working to become millions of voices singing in unison to bring the sanity back home.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips.